You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Crowpot contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody.
I'm not following your line of questioning.
Another episode of Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Crow Pod, of course brought to you by our good friends, the famous headwear.co.uk and bluegroomart.co.uk. I'm giving away most of the shit for December, like within the next week or so. That way it gets to you before Christmas. You can use it as stocking stuffers or whatever the hell you want to do. So support the show, support.thecopelandroad.org. Go down, hit the buy me a coffee link. Help out our friends. Go order shit from them for fucking Christmas, right? They're good people. They make good stuff. Everybody likes their stuff. Go, and plus, you just want more Ranger shit in your house anyway. So go buy stuff from them or sign up to support the show here. Maybe win stuff from them. Everybody's happy. Danny's back because Peter's still... I think Peter's stuck in Gaza at this point. I don't know if we're ever going to find him again.
Yeah, somebody needs to send out a search party for that guy.
Excuse me. Look, I will trade any number of Hamas fighters to get Peter Ewart back. All right. Like I'll round him up myself. We need Peter back. That's it. Fucking hell. Have you recovered from Sunday's fun? I can't believe I woke up at 5:10 in the morning to watch that.
Yeah, it was it was pretty rough waking up for it because I had very little sleep. I was sick for most of the last week and a bit. So, yeah, getting to Sunday and finally feeling okay but having fuck off sleep, I was just like, oh, we need to watch us play Aberdeen again, and it's never straightforward, is it? So, no. Yeah, didn't feel any better after the game, so...
Well, you know, it's a hard place to play against a team that would be bottom of the table except for the 4 points they've taken off of us.
Yeah.
What was it? They've won one corner in their past four matches. We had 70% of possessions or so. Or was it more? I don't even fucking... To watch that goal given away, literally 4 minutes after, we almost got beat the exact same thing. Fucking bad. It's so bad. We've had this problem for years. I've been bitching about this. The fact that like we never challenge for headers in the air. We love to watch a ball bounce before we try to go get it. And Connor Golds, I'll give him credit. He didn't immediately try to blame someone else because, I mean, God and his whole family watched him let that motherfucker run past him. And there wasn't really, who were you gonna bitch at on that one? Like, Jesus Christ.
They're both... Everything central yesterday was a fucking problem anyway, whether it was midfield or defence, but I think they're both at fault there. Probably more so Balogun for me, but...
I mean, it doesn't really
make a difference.
Playing that high of a line with two fucking centre halves that move about as quick as goddamn glaciers, like, what are we doing here?
You know, yeah, but I can understand the intent. You take risks when you do that, but I can still understand the intent. We've needed to be higher up the pitch against these teams for the longest time. It's just fucking typical that the guys that we pick make the first mistake in the first few minutes. But
yeah,
they have one.
And again, after almost being beaten by an absolutely identical fucking play.
Yeah.
4 minutes prior. Like, you had the warning shot, and Butland fucking bailed you out. And, like, if people, I get, like, his positioning not great on the goal. But again, why the fuck does he need to be in position for us to deal with a goddamn goal kick?
No, no. And it's a good finish as well. If any of our strikers could finish like that, I think we'd be doing a lot better than we are. So
yeah,
it's a double-ended argument. You know, we had enough chances to kill that game two or three times over and took none. And had to rely on a penalty yet again to bail us out. So,
we had Lammers proving once again he could fall out of a boat and not hit fucking water. So, Jesus
Christ, man. It really shows how paper thin the squad is when the guys that we have to rely upon, that they themselves are so injury and poor fitness prone at the moment. It's just not. They're not very good footballers.
No,
it doesn't really matter how fit they are or not. The showing yesterday from that midfield three, albeit Cifuentes did improve in the second half a little bit, yeah. But the overall level, the bar is so painfully fucking low. It was a difficult watch.
Now we're sitting here like, if Ryan Jack isn't healthy, which never is, and also like, I'm not going to tell a guy what to do with his fucking international career or anything like that, but literally he gets injured and comes because they don't keep him on the training regimen they need to be on. He comes back injured every fucking time.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. Yeah. Right.
And it's usually just him as well. I know Steve Clark probably has fucking archaic ways of training football.
Oh, I'm sure you know. They're like running up sand dunes or
Was there not a thing that Gerard was pissed off about Jack coming back and they found that he was doing like 15K or something in the build up to a game, like just after playing Celtic the weekend before? Like, yeah, that's probably an issue, but he's still probably one of only one or a few that come back from the Scotland camp always fucking injured.
Yep.
Why keep going then? It's clearly not beneficial to his long-term career as a footballer. You'd think you'd just fucking ditch it. Give it a break.
And not to turn this, because we had enough fun during the longest international break ever beating James Bisgrove about the head and the people like him in charge of the club. But the people that sanctioned the signing of our £4 million striker, who when we're down and need two goals... doesn't come off the fucking bench. That's how bad he is.
Yeah.
Those are the people that okayed that signing. Again, if you as a supporter are willing to hold players to account, managers to account, our ex-director of football to account, then hold the people that fucking give them, hold the people in charge of them to the same fucking level, right? These are the people that allowed all this dumb shit to happen. The reason that we have a shit squad is because of them. Not anyone that not, you can blame Beal, blame Wilson, everybody else, but who's in charge of them? Who's in charge of them?
Yeah, who should have taken one look at the squad even last summer and said, yeah, here you go, Ross, here's your fucking P45, get out the fucking door. Instead of waiting around for him to leave, we sat on our hands and the squad just fucking unraveled. That's the thing. We can sit here and talk about individual players because I can say an awful lot about yesterday, whether it be Tom Lawrence, whether it be John Lundstrom or Cifuentes, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, everybody that had a really shit game yesterday. It's not their fault. It's also not their fault they're at Rangers. And with the wage bill being so high and it being such a problem to try and get rid of some of these guys for the foreseeable future, it's also not their fault that they are paid what they are paid.
No.
We chose to go down that route. Yes. And you had Clément in the paper yesterday saying he wants to reform the way that we handle contracts. One, I think the reason that he said that was because we've got several senior players coming out up for renewal. Yeah. Just this summer coming, but we had the same issue in the summer as well. We discussed that last week, the other week, Shane, where you had to basically 60-70% of the leadership group in the team going out of contract. It's not really a sustainable way where you have that level of turnover within that group, because then you have to build that leadership again, within, it doesn't happen overnight. So you're probably going to have the problems that we've been having of late, where you question the mentality of the group time and time again. Having an opportunity to claw back some ground on Celtic, and we blow it yet again. So the whole squad planning aspect as well is, you know, whatever you want to get into with the player trading model, you can pick holes in the the whole strategy or lack thereof from Wilson and everybody above him over the years. But it really is a fucking shambles, because it's a mess that you're not going to be able to address or fix without significant investment at this point. That's how far gone it is. And is it forthcoming?
Well, again, I mean, that's this ain't fucking Football Manager, but I would honestly terminate Lammers' contract now, right? And I'm not fucking around. He is a negative footballer, right? We are worse when he is on the pit. We would be better with 10 men, because we would actually have an organizational plan for how to play with 10 men, as opposed to having that void out there in the goddamn park. Every run he makes is the stupidest fucking movement I have ever seen in my goddamn life. Right. Setting aside the fact that our tactical plan in the first half yesterday seemed to be, let's string together three or four good passes, then give it to Borna to swing across and Danilo, who's dealing with three center halves trying to mark him at the same time. Like, I mean, that's all we did for 45 fucking minutes. It was awesome.
It was that, and then down the right hand side, it seemed a little bit more like Cantwell was solely the. Maybe I barely fucking watched the game yesterday. I spent 90 minutes staring at a screen, not really fucking giving a shit about what was happening after the first 30 minutes being such a shambles. But from my impression, I thought Cantwell was the main attacking threat on the right-hand side. I don't think Tav really got forward enough. Maybe that was tactical, I'm not sure. Maybe it was a reaction to how he conceded the first goal. But Cantwell might have been Candace out there. His level of performance really needs to improve as well. If we're going to try and use him as some sort of focal point for the attack, then he probably has to be central. But his overall levels since the start of this season have really not been up to the level of hype that you know, it doesn't match up to what people think of him.
He's had four or five good performances.
And
it's not even a full 90 either, of course. Yeah, you can't play fucking 90 minutes.
Thing is, you need players like that, and we're fortunate that he wasn't, you know, at least to bring him to the club, he wasn't a significant financial outlay.
Right.
Goodness knows what he's on wages, but I mean, put better players around him and he'll maybe do better. Maybe there's a few in the squad that you could say that for, whether it be him, Danilo, and then I'll run out of names, obviously. Not Tom Lawrence. Look, we need to address that as well. The fact that we sit and talk about individual players is, again, a problem for me, because I still think none of them individually are a problem. I think half of them shouldn't be there in the first place, and that's more the problem.
Yeah.
But fucking Crocker, of all people, said it yesterday. I don't know if he was directly hinting to it or not, but like, Tom Lawrence was in the same Derby County team as Graham Shinney and Kelly Roos.
Yeah.
He's not a Rangers player. And no. If he is, he shouldn't be on goodness knows what he is on, because we said it all week. Well, 20 plus, or give or take. Right. Because, you know, his contract at Derby was kind of fairly public given their financial problems. So it's highly unlikely that, you know, we didn't pay him something competitive, as well as the fact that I think the quote from Heckingbottom that we mentioned was about him, that we blew their offer out the water and they were a former Premier League team. Like, paying guys like that, what we pay them is the reason that we're in the mess that we're in. Where Clément is tasked with working miracles at this stage, and the squad management is all over the fucking place, to the point that he's probably not going to be able to fix it on his own.
So, well, again, that's the thing. Look, we can look at the squad and we know the problem. We need a left back. We need two center halves. We need a number six. We need another striker. We need a right wing. We need all these. There's no fucking money for it, because they have mismanaged the club to an extraordinary level. That, so I mean, like, gone. Honestly, look, who are we going to sign in January? Right. The only thing we can hope to do is get free transfers in the summer right now. There's no fucking money. And we've got dead wages all over the fucking squad. whether it's Lawrence, Lundstrom, Dessers, Lammers, fucking whoever. Riff. I mean, how much fucking
Davies.
I hate saying this. Ryan Jack is only available 50% of the time.
Yeah, right? He's a waste of time at the stage.
He's great when he's fit, but he's never fit, and that's part of the goddamn problem. We're paying 43 million a year is our wage bill.
Now, yes. Right?
43 million pounds a year for that. I mean, half of that is fucking dead money. It's useless fucking money. And again, if you are willing to bitch about players during the match, if you're willing to bitch about the managers for how they set them out, be that pissed off at the people who have put us in this position. We can't say this enough. They are the ones that fucked this. Right?
Yeah.
Not Goldson, not Balogun, not Tom Lawrence, not fucking any of them individually. It's the people that allowed this and fucking made this happen. The AGM's coming up December 5th. Ask them real questions about why we're spending that much money for this level of shit.
But one of the biggest things in it with the wage bill is that if we got back up to the top flight in 2016, we started asking questions about where do we see ourselves in the next, you know, decade? Are we going to be the most dominant club in Scotland? That's the ambition, right? Are we going to turn the tide with that and turn the tide financially and bridge the gap between us and them? If we were to say back then in 2023, we'll have a bigger wage budget than them, you would expect us to be winning everything available to us and competitive on all fronts. We are as far away from that as we possibly can be, with that in mind. Like, these players are, I really wouldn't be surprised if you put this team out in the pitch or Pedro's team out in the pitch, albeit with a better manager with Clément. If Clément had Pedro's players available to him, is what I'm trying to say, I don't think results would be that much different. I don't think these players are that much different. I think the level is much the same, like I said. Cantwell might as well have been Candeas yesterday. Cifuentes might as well have been Peña. It doesn't make a fucking difference, and yet we're probably paying them twice, if not three, four times more than those guys were on. It's fucking ridiculous. That's just gross negligence.
Yeah.
It's year on year on year of just utter fucking negligence to put us in that position. Because ultimately yesterday's result wasn't, in isolation, it's not a complete disaster. It's not out of the typical trend of us going up there and having a difficult away day. Those days will happen. And there's what it's like in a fucking title challenge. There's always one team that scuppers you every now and then. It's whatever, right? It's the shit in that earlier in the season, the bad results at the start of the season, that fucking pitiful performance against Celtic, the horrid preparation, the shit show of the state of the squad with the fitness and injuries, with whatever happened in pre-season, the terrible transfer window, everything and everybody that presided over that should really be under some severe scrutiny. And I don't see it. Like, who the fuck is asking questions of the people in charge that presided over all of that to say, how are you going to do basically the complete fucking polar opposite of that? And what is your strategy? What is your vision for the next 5-10 years? And how is Rangers going to be the most dominant club in Scottish football?
Yeah.
As simple as that. We can get into the minutiae of it all and squad management and player trading models and whatever else. But I want to hear that from them first and foremost.
What is the
step-by-step fucking plan? Then you can ask questions after the fact. But that's the position we're in. You said previously, the chance is that they're probably going to go and surpass our titles. They're probably going to go and surpass our trophy haul. And we're going to lose this fucking mantle of most successful football club in the world.
Yeah.
And how are we going to recover from that?
Yeah.
It's either we deal with, you know, prevention is better than cure. Either we prevent it now and we do all the shit that we need to do now to stop that from ever happening. Because that would be 9 in a row, 10 in a row, a million times over, right?
Yeah.
So are we not going to try and do something about that to put the club in the position that it is, you know, at its strongest to deal with it? Or are we going to wait for it to fucking happen, react, throw the toys out the pram and just well, make a fucking tit of it all over again.
This is it, right? I'm not going to... Look, fan media, I don't pay to fucking be a goddamn official media partner of Rangers or shit. I'm never going to, because it's fucking dumb that they make people do that. I'm sorry to my friends who do it, but it's fucking ridiculous, right? You either want to be media or you don't. It's whatever. I don't care. I'm going to set all that shit aside. But you are the people there... And I know some of you guys are listening to this right now. You are the people that are representing us as supporters. Again, they won't talk to someone like me. They don't fucking want to. Because I will ask them these goddamn questions. How are you, as a fan, with access to these people, accepting what the fuck has happened? Right? We went from winning the league in March to this. In 2.5 fucking years. The people in charge of it, you want to sit... And bitch about Connor Goldson or fucking Barrissett or whoever, whatever player, whatever manager, whatever is wrong with the fitness levels of the squad, whatever the fuck is that. You want to talk about that stuff. The people in charge of the club are the ones that have allowed that to happen. Question them. Don't get on Twitter and bitch about a bad performance at Pataudry for the upteenth fucking time. Ask the people that allowed it to happen why they keep accepting it. And why are you okay with them coming out? Like, oh, look at all the stuff Bisgrove. James Bisgrove has done fuck all that isn't above a replacement level effort for someone in his position. Mm-hmm. Again, whatever he's done commercial and marketing side, he went from a place where we had none to whatever the fuck he's generated, right? So, of course, it looks good compared to fuck all. Of course, it looks good compared to Mike Ashley's people literally stripping every goddamn dollar out of the fucking club that they can. What has he actually done? How are we better as a club than we were when we won the league in 2021? We had a chance to reel this. We had a chance to reel this league back in because they are such a fucking shit show right now. Again, the wheels could come off of that thing over there anytime. And we are in no position to be able to put pressure on them because our squad is a fucking mess. Everything behind the squad is a mess. Everything in the goddamn club is a mess. We have what's our legal team right now? Right? Think about that. Because this is the shit that you guys don't want to talk about. We have what, one full-time member of our legal staff right now? As a 80 million pound company, we have one full-time. Are you fucking kidding me? This is a shit show shoestring operation. And the people in charge are the reason that we're here. Don't bitch about the players. Don't bitch. Look, Michael Biel is a fucking idiot. That's fine. Who hired him? Who gave him a blank checkbook and said, go ahead and sign whoever the fuck you want? Blame those people.
And yet still only gave him like a couple of million quid after he sold half the squad.
God. Like,
that's people presided over that and there's been no answers of how or why that happened since.
No.
There's just a complete... If
people want to sit there and say they're doing a good job. They are not... objectively are doing a terrible, terrible fucking job at running the club. We are a fucking mess on and off the park.
All that comes out of it week on week, whenever we have a shit result like that, is just more questions, more of the same. We keep having the same conversations about these things, whether it be the squad or the manager, and we have done for several years now. How tired do we get of that? Like whether you're in fan media or not, how tired do you get of it? Because like, it's the fucking gaslighting about it all as well. Like every time a player's signed, whether it be Ben Davies, the former Liverpool player for £4 million, what a steal. Or whether it be Tom Lawrence, he's going to be amazing for us, he's going to be great, gets injured for a full fucking season, just wait until he's back. A lot of that is club driven, and part of me understands it. You know, if you're going to big your own players up, then great, but be consistent with it, because we've made a fucking fine job of berating some of our own in recent years as well.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start to question what is communicated, because my main issue with some, not all, in fan media is that all we get is sound bites regurgitated from, you know, those at the club. We essentially get verbatim whatever they want to fucking tell us, and they just lap it up. There's no question, there's no scrutiny, you know, present it in some kind of impartial way. If you want to sit there and complain about how the Scottish media and Scottish press have been run for the longest fucking time, then maybe take a look at what they do wrong. They spin a narrative. They force feed us whatever fucking negative point of view with whether it be Rangers or Scottish football. This is the polar opposite. It's constant forceful positivity just because that's what the club want it to be, because they want to cover their tracks, because they want everything to be all fucking rosy and best in class without having anybody there to scrutinise them. It's the same reason why the AGM, you said this before the pod, Shane, the AGM is on a fucking Tuesday morning.
Yeah, 10:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. They don't want people to, look, smart people that understand what the fuck they're doing wrong can't take time off. A Tuesday is literally the worst day of the week for anybody to take off work, right? I mean, it's part of the, like, our election day over here is a Tuesday. You know why? Because it's a pain in the ass and they don't want you to vote. Same reason, they don't want you fucking there at 10:30 at Edmondson House on a fucking Tuesday morning. It is literally the worst day to schedule something like that because they don't want people there to ask them fucking questions.
Mm-hmm. They want it to be more of a fan forum than anything else. They don't want it to be a meeting where they speak to shareholders and stakeholders of the business and actually start to fucking gauge the mood or the feeling amongst the people that really are the lifeblood of the
well, again, fun. I mean, they've completely ostracized and extricated 25% of the shareholders. They won't communicate with them at all. Whether it's Dave King or Club 1872, right? That's fully a quarter of the fucking shares in the company. They don't want a goddamn thing to do with them.
Bear in mind that last year's absentee chairman said, for his vision of the club, I think it was something along the lines of, we want to win as many games of football as we can, sign, I don't know, however many footballers that we can, and win as many trophies as we can. And that was his vision.
But, well, fine, you know, fine. Hey, if that's your fucking vision, look, even holding them account to that, right? If that's his stated vision, what have we done? What have we won? Right. Again, even if you are one of these people out there still, for some reason, holding them up as like an idol of fucking virtue and everything that is right about Rangers, their stated vision is that we should win everything and sign all the best players. Mm-hmm. We have signed the worst players and won fuck all.
Yeah.
That's the benchmark that they gave to us to hold them to.
So fucking hold them to it. We're paying through the fucking nose for it as well.
How was your RTV experience on Sunday? Did that work for you?
Did not log in. It just decided to not recognize my login details anymore.
$300 a year that we pay for this wonderful service?
Yeah. Fantastic. Great stuff.
Yep. Thank God I've got Paramount Plus so I could actually listen to Ian Crocker and James McFadden. Jesus fucking Christ. God. I didn't want to turn this in. You know, actually, let's before we take the break, I want to laugh at some fucking sheep shagging nonsense here. Because the Avi Zed football podcast, I'm just going to call it, I'm sticking with that. These guys showed up on Twitter, right? And every sheep shagging fucking, I mean, just check your box, get out your fucking bingo card. But it finally got to the point where I just asked, I was like, it's holiday season. What would make you more joyful? Winning the league title or us not winning the league title? You can only choose one. Now, if you do the math on this one, if they win the league title, we also don't win it, right? I tried to make this real fucking easy for him. And his decision was us not winning it. I mean, they are, it's un-fucking believable. And of course, now we're going to have to do another week of the goddamn penalty shit. Barry Robson, right? We all knew he was a fucking idiot when he was a player, and he's even worse now.
Genuinely fucking unhinged.
Just absolute fucking mental gymnastic fucking. But I don't understand. Why are you mad at VAR? It's just like, look, everything that we've been talking about here, don't be mad at the players, be mad at the board. Why are you mad at VAR instead of your fucking manager who teaches what? Look, coach your players not to pull a shirt in the goddamn box. It's going to get called every fucking time they go look at it on video now. It's the most obvious penalty in the fucking world. What do you expect?
When there's a still image of a guy with like a full handful of Connor Goldson's shirt, and his shirt is stretched about fucking
a yard and a half behind him. Yeah, what the hell do you want him to do?
Truth doesn't matter. It's a post-truth world, of course, but it's always been that way in Scotland.
And then you got like fucking Roger Mitchell out there doing the same. Like, oh god, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's nothing to do with VAR. It's nothing to do with referees or refereeing decisions. It's just entirely.
It's fuck the Huns. That's all it is. Yeah. That's all the fuck the Huns. That's the whole point of all this.
Yeah. And that's. I said it before, I spent the first 20 years of my life up in that fucking shithole, and I can confirm that's all they give a shit about. It's literally every second of the day, fuck the Huns as a mantra in their tiny little minds.
Yeah.
It's just a backwater shithole full of fucking imbeciles. So this is what you get. Yeah. You get Celtic White, essentially.
Yeah.
It's their entire existence.
We shouldn't be sat here where they've taken 4 points off of us, right? Why? Because the team is shit. Why? Because the people in charge of the team are fucking shit, right? Don't be mad at the players on a small scale for dropping points to them again. Be mad at the people that put them in the position that we are dropping points to them again, right?
That's the place I'm getting to, Shane. I'm getting to the point where I'm no longer going to have anything to say about any of these players.
It's not their fault. It's not.
I actually feel sorry for them at this stage because it's
like an abused spouse, you know.
Yeah.
At this point, right.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. All right, hold on. We're gonna take the break. I got some news coming back. I talked about this on Twitter Saturday before the match, but now I actually have some shit. So quick break. Coming back with more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to part two here. Don't ask me no questions for, what is that, the 27th of November? We had a lot of fun, obviously, there, talking about what a wonderful match. But I told you guys, I promise you good news. And after you go to support.thecopenroad.org and fucking help out the goddamn show to win stuff from our friends, the famous and Blue Room Art, You can come back and listen to this. So what? There's no Narsa this year, Danny, right? I mean, I think everybody's aware of this by now. There's problems around the hotel in New York and everything. So there's no Narsa convention, which I think, you know, it's something that everybody looks forward to every year on the calendar. People want to come over. Look, who doesn't want to get away from the wife and kids for a week right after the season's over, right? I mean, it's fucking ideal. But I spitballed this on Saturday, and I've been working on it since then. And I'm giving some stuff to our friends. I'm just to be 100% clear, it's not narcissist sanctioned at all before you guys go to Gaz and get him fucking on my ass. But I've already, you know, they're on board. They're having their ExecCom meeting on Wednesday, I want to say, he said. I am actively working on getting us blocks of hotel rooms. I've got all the bars on board here in town, or the ones that we would need here on board. We've got one of the top 10 public golf courses in the state. I've got a casino in this town. I've got football pitches that we can have like a tournament or the charity match on. And of course, my friend Billy, one of my former business partners, he's got a venue that we can fit 300 to 400 of us in every single night for music and all that kind of shit. So, in place of Narza, I am working on giving us something that is 45 minutes from O'Hare, right? You can fly to Chicago. And look, if you don't want to stay in Rockford the whole time, trust me, it won't fucking hurt my feelings at all. You can go to Chicago. It's right down the fucking road. By all means, do it. It's the best city in the fucking world. And don't blame me for not wanting to be here. But I'm going to try to do this on fucking short-ass notice, right? Because, I mean, it takes Narsa a year and a half, 2 years to plan where fucking one's going. I'm trying to throw this thing together in a week for next June. So at least we have something to do. So stay, you know, like with the Twitter, whatever. Or if you're a supporter of the show, you get emails from me every once in a while with updates. I'm trying to get this shit figured out before January 1st. So everybody's got 6 months. You guys can figure it out. I'm trying to do it around the same time in June that Narsa would have been. Of course, it depends. That really the only conflict that we have in this town over the summer would be like if there's a big sports tournament in town, because mm-hmm. I'll take up all the goddamn hotel rooms. So I got to find a weekend where we don't have that conflict. But everything else is pretty much already fucking done. Like I said, I got the golf course on board. We can get soccer pitches for the fucking, you know, charity game or whatever the hell. Just Narsa small and unofficial. It'd be Crow Pod Fest. There we go.
Yeah.
Festival for the Crow Pod.
It's a shame. It would be nice to have like kind of multiple outlets, whether it be fan media, whether it be you know, any of the kind of vendors or whoever to join up and make it a bit of a convention in its own right. But yeah, I say go for it. It sounds like a fantastic idea, especially when there's such a void, because Narsa is such a big occasion every year for a lot of people. But yeah, it would be cool, because I remember we went to Narsa in 2014, Shane, in Toronto, and me and a couple of the guys from the We Are The People magazine went over, and you know, some of the folks from the Crow were there, and you know, whoever else from different sort of angles of the Rangers support coming over from Scotland, as well as everybody in North America joining up in one single location.
Yeah.
It's whether whether you take the convention itself seriously or not. I hope everybody does, but you know, it's like Shane said, it's a really good getaway at the end of the season. It's a good excuse to come over to North America and have a piss up, and you can go here, there, or wherever.
Yeah. Go to Chicago, it's right. Look, I'm dead ass in the middle of the country. Like I said, I mean, if we do like 3 nights or whatever, and you want to come over for like a whole week, and go wherever the fuck else you want to. Okay, yeah. And Gary, our buddy Gary up there from the Toronto Central Club, asked one of the most important questions here on Twitter this morning. How much is a beer? So just so everybody knows, like at pretty much every bar downtown here, you're somewhere between $3 to $5 for a good pint. You know, and obviously you can go up, you can get some of the fancy shit and whatever. We go over to Mary's, it's $1.50 for a pint of PBR. You can get $1 can of hams. Most of your rail drinks around here are about $4, $4.50. You know, if you want to call like a Jack and Coke or whatever, you're looking at like $5 or $6. And obviously the bars that we go to, look, there's a reason I go to them. They're going to be very happy to have all of you guys here. They will pour very well for everybody. I mean, you can go out and look, you can go out in this town with like $35 in your pocket and get fucking annihilated, right?
Yeah, so
it ain't that goddamn hard. So it's a cheap, like I said, I'm not, this ain't the fucking replace Narsa. It's just an option. If you were planning on going to Narsa and still want to trip away, it's cheaper. It's something that I can actually do this and throw it together in 5 days. And putting something like this together is not exceptionally easy, but I know all the fucking people in this town. Like I said, you can fly to O'Hare. There's a bus line from O'Hare straight to town, or obviously you can rent a car, do whatever the fuck you want. The casino is on the east side of town near O'Hare where the golf courses are. So if that's more your thing, there's hotels out there by the casino, or you can stay downtown at the Riverfront Hotel. And we're going to have like all the events and the music downtown. I've already got bands ready to go. I got the venue on. I got almost everything is fucking done outside of just like getting everything down on paper and what the fuck we're going to have to do in terms of marketing. So we're going to fucking do this, right? I'm doing this shit. I don't care. I'm bored. It's the fucking holidays, right? Thanksgiving's over. I'm pissed off because now I got to deal with Christmas. So I'm going to distract myself by putting together Crow Pod Fest, the unofficial, very, very, very unofficial NARSA 2024. So there we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's about $3 or $4 a pint, Shane. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, you can go out with $35 and get fucking pissed. I mean,
and you
can find some Coke in the bathroom if you need it. I got plenty of plugs. Don't worry.
if you're here for the gear,
you're in luck. All right.
Try finding a pint in Glasgow for under a fiver nowadays.
No.
Good luck.
No, like I said, look, there's nicer places. You know, there's like Prairie Street Brew House. They have like a dockside. Again, it's going to be in June, so the weather is good here, right? Because if you come in August, it's horrible. Yeah. No, if you come in August, it's like June is usually about, you know, 80 degrees. So what, like 30 degrees, right? It's nice. It's sunny. It's not really stormy. It's not as humid yet. Like August here is hell. August here is like 35 degrees every fucking day, and it's humid as shit. June is pleasant. So, perfect weather. Oh, yeah, and there's the river. So, like, if you want to rent a boat or you want to do, like, that kind of shit, it's literally right there. There's docks that go to the hotel that most people would be staying in. So, you can do that. Like I say, it's whatever. Again, not trying to replace New York City. It's fucking Rockford, right? This is the most American Rust Belt goddamn city. I mean, this is just, like, the most American city that you can get. You know, I mean, come on. We got guns. We got a marginalized minority community stuck in one side of town, right? We got all this shit. But I can get this thing put together in 5 days where, you know, if a couple hundred of you want to come on over, we're going to have a good fucking time. So there you go. Support the show. Help out our friends at famousedward.co.uk and blueroomart.co.uk. Oh, my God. Hey, how about John Gregg getting his CBE today? That's really burying the news of well, you know, again, it's good news. It's something that we should just be able to celebrate, but also once again, covers up all the other shit that they just do.
Yeah. No, it's good to see. It's fantastic. It's great to see John Gregg still being recognized as such a great individual associated with the club, first and foremost. So, yeah, can't really complain about that at all. It's just a shame. Just a shame we have to sit here and talk about all sorts of other shit today. But yeah,
No, I don't know. Hey, he got from the future king too. So I mean, that's not bad. That's good shit. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't even know what the hell else to talk about after the first half of the show, man. I had notes and everything, and then I put them somewhere. I don't feel like getting up. I'm pissed off. Every time I start talking about the goddamn board again, I just get pissed off.
It's a post-Thanksgiving rage as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's God. It's over. It's the best day of the year. Look, I'm telling you guys, look. Get a petition going over there, right? You got a useless government in the SNP anyway. At least make them do something, right? Come up with a Scotch Thanksgiving, folks. Just pick a day, pick a random ass day, right? You don't, because the whole point is that it's a holiday for no fucking reason. So, like, just pick a day and do it. It's great.
It would get hijacked by politics immediately because
everything does, right? I mean, look, I'm deliberately trying to kill Santa Claus and Jesus most days. Keep the Christ out of Christmas, folks.
Oh my goodness, your country is mental, Shane. That's
yeah. So come enjoy it next June for Crow Pod Fest.
You're really selling it.
Like, I wouldn't have lived here for the last fucking 12 years if I didn't think it was a cool little town. So there you go.
Yeah, what, exactly. You could live, okay. Live in much worse places, right?
What do we do in January besides, I swear to Christ, stop talking to me about Lawrence Shankland. He does not solve any problems, and he would cost us £4 million. He would cost us another Cyril Dessers, right? So just stop with this shit. And if honestly, if that signing would placate you with the squad that we have, like if that was our key January signing and you would be happy with that, fuck me. Like, I don't know what team you're watching right now, but that, no, that's not going to fix anything.
It is. Every comparison I come back to is very 2017 with us Rangers team, right? Because you think about it, it's like the stuff that, whether the club placates fans in one way or another or not, or whether fans do it themselves with certain players, where they fucking hold them all off as some sort of great saviour, whether they've been out injured for 9 months or whether they've just shown it in one or two games and people expect an awful lot more for them. In both cases, that could be Lawrence or Cantwell, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like the bar is so painfully fucking low. Wait, like how many players on the team can you say would actually get into Gerrard's side for the title win? How many players could you say at the moment would get into Gio's side for the Europa League?
There's two, right? Yeah. We know there's Tavernier and Butland. That's it.
Maximum.
Danilo would be a good squad player, I guess.
And he was a £6 million signing. And don't get me wrong, he's still young enough that he could burst into some great vein of form at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bit of faith in him because when you see him in spells, you see him at his best. You're like, yeah, he could quite easily be the main striker if he can kind of refine that and develop as a player, and Clement can hopefully get that out of him eventually. You'll have to at £6 million. But we could have done with him at Sevilla.
That's
as far as I'll go with that. But it's such a low fucking bar for the squad.
We're holding
guys like that aloft as new players.
And I get, I'm set repeat. Look, I like having a guy like Chris Boyd in the squad, right? You need a guy that can score 25 goals against jobbers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But we signed Chris Boyd for, what, £700,000 when he was 22? 22.
Yeah. And he'd already scored 100-plus goals in this league.
For Kilmarnock, right? When he was Lauren Shanklin's age, he was playing in MLS, scoring 7 goals in 29 matches, right? And that was before he came back. Why? We just spent £4 million on a 29-year-old striker that we can't make any fucking money from and can't hit the back of the net, right? Yeah. God, I cannot stress. Look, if we were in a good financial position with a good squad and we need like a piece and he fit, and again, he could do something in a good team. He could do something. This is not a good team. We have so many other fucking needs right now. Please stop with this shit. Mm-hmm. Right, we cannot afford to spend the entire goddamn January budget that we don't have anyway on him.
If we spend £3 or £4 million on a player, he better be a nailed on starter every single week.
Yeah,
not just because he's slightly better than the other ones.
No, playing for Hearts, right?
Yeah,
he's playing for Hearts.
He's having a kind of typical like Scottish footballer career, right? Where he's burst into a purple patch of form over the last couple of years. He's coming into the prime of his career, and that's the best he ever will be.
Yeah.
So do you really want to spend a few million quid on that? Same with the fucking Kent argument. Do you really want to bring back a guy
that had a good few
runs in Europe and a good, you know, 9 months?
He quit on two different fucking managers. Mm-hmm. I liked Ryan Kent sometimes. He did very good things sometimes. He also couldn't score, right? Couldn't hit the back of the net if you gave him a clear shot from 10 yards away most of the time.
No,
and he fucking quit on this club. Just down tools completely on this club not that fucking long ago. Why in the fuck would you want someone like that back who's not as young as he was then and hasn't played well in 3 fucking years?
We replaced him with a loanee that has outscored him significantly already. He's not even our player, and we're going to have to replace him at some point as well. why do we want to bog down the squad even further with like yet another overplayed, underperforming footballer?
Yeah,
I can't wrap my head around the logic. Like, yeah, we should have signed Scottish players many moons ago when they were actually available to us, and you know, something worth investing in. When we sign players from this league now, we're almost priced out of our own league. It's the reason why Gerrard had a team full of non-Scottish players for the most part.
Yeah.
The value isn't there. The players that are good go for an awful lot more money than we could probably afford, you know, 3-4 million plus down south or wherever else in Europe. We can't justify that spend. It doesn't make sense spending that on a player that isn't in that category. There's no other team in the world that's going to spend £3-4 million on Lawrence Shankland.
No.
It would just be us. It would only be us.
Again, so, this is the Lee Wallace math. The reason Lee Wallace stayed is because no one else in the world was going to pay him what we were, right?
Yeah.
It's that same fucking equation again. No one, what championship side is knocking down their door to try to get fucking Lawrence Shankland right now? Right?
Yeah.
And also, why do you want that level of player? He's a good player at heart. A good player. Not a great player. A good player at hearts. Why is that what we're aspiring to? That is not good enough for this fucking club.
Oh, it comes back to what I was saying before as well, that it's just a bit of a malaise. It's fucking expectation management all round. It's this shrinking of the jersey to the point that certain players suddenly look appealing.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening. It should not be happening where we're in a position now where we've regressed so significantly to starting to accept that. Good players that we've had in recent years, we've tried to drive out the door because Morelos was overweight or Tav shouldn't be captain or whatever. And then we hold other ones aloft above them that are vastly inferior.
We spent £1 million on Freddy Morelos and he scored, what, 150 goals for us?
Yeah, record, right. European goal scorer. We spent £250 grand. We spent £250 grand on one of our best right backs of all time. We spent
£50 grand for Glenn Kamara, who we could have sold for £15 million at one point and didn't.
And we didn't.
Right.
we signed Calvin Bassey for next to nothing. When we spend money, we make a cunt of it nine times out of ten. Connor Goldson is probably the only significant spend in recent years that is justifiable simply for the fact that he's played so many fucking games for us.
Yeah.
That's it. He's not even an outstanding player. He's been a very solid, consistent player for the most part. And now you're seeing a decline after he's played so many games, barely had any rest. We're forcing him time and time again to play through injury because the other options are so fucking terrible as well.
Because you know, we spent £4 million on Ben Davies.
Yeah, and he's shit and barely available. And, well, shit is a strong way to put it. He's been good on occasion, but not good enough to justify his fee. He's been nowhere near as good as Hollander, who was never fucking available either. John Souter, I like him as a squad option, but he's never going to be a starter for Rangers in my view anyway.
Well, again, right there, right? John Souter was a good player at Hearts. That is what Lawrence Shankland is. How do you justify four times the outlay that we spent on Morelos, who is the club's record goal scorer in Europe? Yeah. How do you justify that? How do you think that that is acceptable for what this squad needs? Right, we need six fucking players, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have the money for that. And there's nothing in the squad that's sellable outside of Jack Butland. And without him, we would be a fucking nightmare right now. Also, him, by the way, screaming at Borna after he did that back pass throw in was easily the highlight. I couldn't. Calm the fuck on. Fuck me. Quote. Jack Butland. Awesome.
It is quite... I do feel for Borna sometimes because at times he's been singled out when he hasn't been the biggest problem in the team, but he's still a problem, right?
Yeah.
But it is...
I mean,
it's still really funny, right? But it's still really, really funny that he gets screamed at on a weekly basis by basically everybody around him and he doesn't take the fucking hint. Come on, man.
He turned Jack Butler into Alan McGregor for 3 seconds.
but see, going back to January and everything, Shane, right? See, I'll beat it to death. It's not about overall spend. I am saying that we do need significant investment only because the scale of the problems are so vast that it needs it. We can't go out and rebuild an entire squad again and only have a net spend of £2 million. We tried that in the summer and it was a fucking shambles. It just doesn't work. Yet, it's not about spend, it's about value. It's about when we do spend money. When we spend £4 million on a fucking striker, he shouldn't be a 29-year-old journeyman that has had maybe two or three good seasons in his entire career. That can't get off the fucking bench when we need a goal.
Yeah,
that doesn't represent value. If you could get Warren Shanklin for £500k, £1 million tomorrow, that does represent value because he'd be a very valuable squad member. £3 million, it doesn't. End of discussion. No. And it's the same across the squad. It's the same with so many players that we've signed. I mean, God knows what we spent. Again, I'm not doing this to single individual players out because they shouldn't be in the first place, and it's not their fault. But God knows what we spent on a signing on fee for the free transfers that we did get.
Yeah.
The guys that are on 25, 35 plus K a week, whether it be Lundstrom, Roof, Roof was a fee, right? Lundstrom, Lawrence, whoever, like, there's no value there. You're signing guys on a free, sure, but you're putting them on massive wages. So if they don't work out, you know, when they don't necessarily have a career to justify signing them on that wage in the first place. They weren't outstanding players where they were. They're effectively a bunch of like low-end English Championship, top-end League One players. And we're paying them to be some of our highest earners in the team just to be not even good enough as squad players. So when you do spend money on an individual player, whether it be wages or whether it be a fee, you're going to have to squeeze every bit of value out of it. If it's a 500k signing or a £5 million signing, that's what we're going to have to look at in January. That's again another question that has to be asked at the AGM. How are you going to make sure that we do that moving forward? Because we've done the polar opposite since, and it's served us terribly.
Well, it's the thing that like we don't. It's always been a problem. We don't know how to fucking move on from. Well, again, oh my God. This just comes back to the lack of overall strategy and vision and everything. Morales was signed for £1 million. We could have sold him for 15 to 20 at one point, right? Kamara was signed for 50,000. We could have sold him for £15 million. Joe Aribo, we got value for. Bassett, we got value for. Nathan Patterson, obviously good value. But there were players in that squad that we could have sold at point. Ryan Kent, we could have sold for twice what the fuck we paid for him at one point, right? You have to be able to do that and rebuild a goddamn squad. These are not fucking the same fucking Ally McCoy's, right? And even he left, right? I mean, goddamn, players leave. It's okay. Yeah, you find new ones.
Well, the idea is that if you sold Alfredo Morelos for 15 million, you could have signed any number of strikers that have since gone on in European football across the continent for small fees from whether it be the fucking Nordic countries or whether it be Belgium or wherever that we could probably attract players from. There's like five or six different examples in Europe. There's a guy at Leverkusen from I think was it Bodo or somebody from fucking Norway that's now banging them in. He's like rivaling Kane as one of the top scorers in the Bundesliga now.
Yeah.
They signed him for £6 million.
Yep.
But if you sold Morelos for fucking 15, 17 million, whatever the fuck Leo were supposedly offering, you could have easily went out and justified a signing like that and had a shitload of change to spare.
Yeah.
But we're not in that position. So now we're in the position that we're talking about Warren Shanklin at £3 million being a fucking waste of money.
And again, we had fucking Antonio Čolak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's better than Shanklin and that costs a hell of a lot less. Again, there's no strategy, there's no planning to fucking anything.
Yeah, Čolak should have never been a nailed on starter at Rangers, and I wasn't as big as fan. But when you look at the overall cost of him as a squad option, he wasn't a terrible idea.
No,
I mean
his performances
after a massive drop off last year were pretty fucking shambolic. But like that's still in line with the argument, right? You can have these guys. You can have a guy that you sign for 1 or 2 million that is a squad option if you can afford it. When you're doing these stupid fucking rebuilds that we piss up the wall, if you spend £3 or £4 million on a guy, he has to be a fucking absolute nailed on starter every day of the week.
Yeah.
Key player, like unquestionably one of our best players. And when it comes to Clément, bringing this back full circle with the whole argument, whether it be 55, whether it be the Europa League, whether it be Champions League qualification, subsequently bookending that fucking summer, and that particular rebuild, because that's what it was. This is another opportunity to turn the tide. As we've got a manager that looks competent at the very, very least. Hopefully we see an awful lot more in time of just how good he is. And you have to back him. They are backed into a corner now with of their own doing without anybody really giving them any scrutiny.
But they're not backed in the corner because they'll do the same thing to him they did to fucking Gio. You know?
Yeah, they'll throw him under the bus.
Either Clement succeeds with nothing and they look like fucking, again, it's the rainmaker thing. Can't say this enough. Mm. When it doesn't rain, it's not supposed to. And when it does, they made it happen, right? They're going to do the same fucking thing with Clement that they did with fucking Gio, that they tried to do with Gerrard till he told him to fuck off, right? Mm. And Beal, whatever, never should have been fucking hired in the first goddamn place, but whatever. Anyway. But no, because look, December, right. Again, it's on a Tuesday morning. I get it. People can't fucking make it. But if you were at the AGM, ask them real questions about how they have put us in this fucking position. Because there's no excuse for it at all. None.
There has to be follow-ups to things. If you're asking a question about how the squad's been managed, how player assets have been managed, how, you know, the state of the finances and why we continue to make a loss, we're not a self-sustainable business, we don't have a player trading model to support that as the main function of the business, we don't have Champions League football every year guaranteed, we operate within a market that is very narrow.
Hold on. I will say again, we do have guaranteed Champions League football if we win the fucking league, which is the expectation.
Right? Of course. But I mean, that can obviously change based on the coefficient, and it most likely will when more teams in Scotland get into Europe and make a tit of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a million different factors, and we have to be proactive with the environment around us as a business. We just have to. We have to understand that. Yeah, we can grow the commercial side of the business, but that's limited. Because as much as we're going to talk about being this bumper bullshit fucking Book of Bizgrove speak, isn't it? Global brand. I'm sorry, but we're never going to be on the scale of Manchester United or Liverpool or whoever, where we're raking in tens of, if not hundreds of millions in commercial revenue. There's a ceiling on that. What will bring in more money than commercial revenue every single day of the fucking year? And every transfer window is a sustainable model where we have an effective player trading model. And we bring in tens of millions every year through that. We continue to have season ticket money. We continue to have commercial revenue, which will grow if the team is in Europe all the time and winning the fucking league. These things, that's the whole self-sustainable model. And it is underpinned by having a fucking player trading model that is consistently fucking successful. Yeah. And winning fucking trophies. It's the only thing that gets us to where we want to be. And it's not just asking them when is the technical director going to be appointed. It's how is he going to be supported? What is the overall vision for the club? Is everybody singing from the same fucking hymn sheet with it? Are you going to have the technical director getting everything that he needs from the people above him in order to do his fucking job properly? Because if he's just left the work miracles, then you end up with the same situation as the past three managers. So what difference does it make in that case? And then you have to ask questions and make sure there's fucking accountability for all the shit that's happened in the past. Why was the summer allowed to happen the way that it was? Why did you appointed a rookie manager and you gave him absolutely fuck all support? You just left him to do it on his own. And why did you continue to employ Ross Wilson after several failed transfer windows that has put us in this mess in the first place? We need answers to those questions about as well as answers for the fucking future. Go to the AGM and make it a fucking difficult time for them. Because, see, I understand the want for people at the club that you actually like, right? I understand the want for having executives that are people that care about the club, and I guess that's the desperate thing people are clinging to when they love Bizgrove so much, right? But what we should have always been doing pre-2012 and especially post-2012 is making sure these people are fucking accountable and they answer our questions and they follow up with action. They don't do that.
No.
So make sure
well, they fucking again, do it. Like Danny, I know I said it on a show a while ago, but look, when they give you a bullshit answer, don't let them fucking do it. Ask them a follow. Ask them the same fucking question. If you ask them a question and they give you that waffle ass bullshit like they did at the fans forum, ask them literally the exact same question again and ask them why they didn't fucking answer the question in the first fucking place. Mm-hmm. Don't let them get away with this shit. Right? The AGM is the only time that you can actually fucking hold them accountable to this kind of crap, right? Because everything else is a stage show.
Yeah, there was one guy last year that actually stood up and questioned Wilson on all of his fucking bullshit. And it was quite funny to see. There was like a close pan of like Wilson and Beale sitting next to each other, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Wilson's getting all fucking tetchy and quite clearly uncomfortable with the line of questioning. And Beale's just sat there smirking like, oh. Like, shit, he's got you there, pal. Like, really, the guy stood up and asked some valid questions about the state of the squad and how it's been managed, and the answers were insufficient. There was nobody following up after. I understand the AGM's a difficult forum to have this kind of back and 100%. Forth sort of thing.
But it's the only forum.
And it's what comes out of it after the fact. It's the coverage of it. And the coverage of it was just whatever could be taken, whether it be fan media or whoever, was just taking all the positives out of it and ignoring most of the negatives, most of the parts where people were actually being somewhat held to account. Yeah. That really needs to change. If you want to see Rangers go and be the dominant team in Scottish football, that needs to change. That's the end all and be all of it.
The only other outcome, and the outcome that is on the way right now, is them overtaking us in trophy. They're going to overtake the trophy haul, and they're going to get to 56.
Even though they're shit.
And they're fucking trash. Yes.
It's ridiculous. We'll never have a better opportunity to turn it around than now. Because in recent seasons, I mean, they're cash rich, right? They can throw money at the problems where we can.
They're cash rich because they win the league and go to the fucking Champions League.
Exactly. and they sell players every now and then. And that's the problem. But, like, we'll never have a better opportunity as long as they employ a manager that is not living up to standards and they are having internal strife. We won't. This is probably our last opportunity before they probably get their house in order eventually.
Yeah.
Whether they sack him or whatever else happens, like a year or two from now, who knows? But this is the window where you really have to fucking double down on the people that are running the club and making sure they're doing it in the right way so that we can turn that tide. And so that the next 10 years, we've got a bunch of... The next 10 years, Shane, we should be talking about at least 5 or 6 titles.
Yeah.
Not 1 every 5, not 1 every 10 years. That doesn't work.
Look, the people that are there right now, the people that are in charge of this shit right now were the people that were there in 2021 and lost the fucking opportunity to cut the head off of that thing, right? Because they were a fucking mess. Mm-hmm. And they let this thing fucking come apart.
Even though they won a title, the year that we made the Europa League final, that summer was still a massive opportunity. Record revenues.
Yeah.
Stuart Robertson was coming out talking about how great everything is because we made a European final and it was worth so much more money to us than raking the Champions League group stages. But yes, even you come out and tell the support that, they're going to expect that there's something forthcoming with significant investment in the team to make it better so that we have more moments like that. Yeah. I don't want to be sitting here talking to you, Shane, about all this shit. I would be sitting here talking to you about more moments like Leipzig or beating Celtic at Hampden or more moments like 55 and you know, I have to go as far back to like Waters last season for another memory of winning the fucking league title. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's a fucking nonsense.
It's going to be 2024. I really, just to close this one out before I mention something else again, but it's been fucking... It's going to be 2024, right? It's going to be 12 years since 2012. Stop hanging 2012 as a fucking, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. We can't all remember. Yeah, we do all fucking remember what happened. But you know what?
Yeah.
We won a league and gone to a European final and 2 record player trade, right? It is a fucking nonsense that we are seeing here with the shambles that they're fucking in across town. Having this fucking conversation.
You're saying, see the 2012 stuff that gets fucking brought up every time?
I'm like, so sick of it.
Really?
Just fuck off with that.
It's tiresome, right? But I've said it previously as well. What did we go through all of that for?
Yeah.
What?
Well, and also, I'm sorry. What lesson did you take from that? Was it either hold the people accountable in charge of the club, or just think that everything's okay because we're not in that same position?
Yeah.
Right. What did you actually learn? You know,
it is very much that first of all, above everything else. But did anybody come out of 2012 thinking, oh, you know, in 2024 we still won't be winning league titles on a regular basis? And did you then endure the subsequent years all the way through to promotion and a couple of years after it? For what? What did you experience that shit show for?
Yeah.
Did you want to come out the other end of it just seeing your team just existing? Or did you want to come out the other end of it seeing your team fucking thriving? Yeah. There's a big fucking difference. We should have went through all of that and come out the other end of it as like a fucking beacon in European football for clubs that go through this shit. We should have been the fucking top dog of clubs that have recovered from financial fucking despair. And we're doing most of the same shit that we were doing in the past that did not serve as well. And yet we're wildly, like, just much less successful for it.
Yeah,
I can't wrap my head around how anybody can justify that, and we've been doing it for years.
Look, me and you should be able to come on today and just talk about Jan Greg for fucking an hour, right?
How great Philippe Clement is for the great job that he's doing, because he has a squad that he can actually use to be a fucking successful football manager, and hopefully we might have a chance of a league title at the end of the season. We can't talk about that now.
No.
We can't, because that's yesterday was evidence of all of it. It's, like I said earlier, in isolation, it could have been a bad result or whatever, and we could move on from it, but it's so indicative of everything wrong. That was one of the most demoralizing results in recent years yesterday for me.
Yep. Anyway, fun stuff. Like I said, Crow Pod Fest. I'm going to post some. If you're a supporter of the show on the Buy Me a Coffee page, like I said, you get emails from me. So I'm going to post something up just to kind of like feel it out. Like I said, I know Narsa, their exec comm is meeting Wednesday. So I'm going to get something together for them to at least, so we can figure out everything that we need to fucking do. But like I said, on my end, I can probably have all this thing put together within the next 5 to 6 days, at least for the core functions of it. So I will have updates for that. But like I said, if you're a supporter of the show, you'll get emails from me that say, hey, here's everything that's going on. Tomorrow, me, David, and Todd are back with the full regular Crow Pod bullshit, where we don't have to talk about football, which is nice. So get ready for that one on Tuesday. Me and Danny, we're coming back Friday, too. We're going to try to get some people on. Danny has a task, but we're going to try to get people on Friday to kind of queue up the AGM and the shit that everything, obviously, that we've been talking about here throughout the international break, but to actually queue up what, you know, smart money people who actually have smart questions about money and, you know, have jobs on Tuesday so they can't fucking be there. But
actual big brain stuff.
Yes. So yeah, we're trying to do that for Friday so everybody's ready for the AGM, right? Because again, if you are going, do not fucking let them off the hook talking about goddamn MyJers or shit like that, because that's not the problem with the company. Right, that's not the problem with the football club.
I really want to hear about how great the pies are on the concourse again. That's, yeah.
Yep. All right, don't follow Danny on Twitter at DJ_1872.
Nope.
Do not do it.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
Not at all. No. Thanks again, brother.
Appreciate it, Shane.
Yep. And yeah, like I said, we'll be back tomorrow with the full Crow Pod and all the other shit coming later this week. So we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't get fucking serious at all.